My name is Lee Hawkins. I've been a journalist for over 25 years. On my new podcast, What Happened in Alabama, I get answers to some of the hardest questions about how things came to be for many Black Americans and the truth that must come before any reconciliation can happen. I investigate my family history, my upbringing in Minnesota, and my father's painful nightmares about growing up in Alabama. What Happened in Alabama is a new series confronting the cycles of trauma for myself, my family, and for many Black Americans. Listen now.
Traditional revenue sources for public media, and really the media at large, are declining this year, and we at Marketplace are not immune to these trends. We're currently tracking behind target for this budget year. We are tightening up expenses, but the need for trusted, grounded, fact-based reporting is as pressing as ever. We can't cut back on our mission, so we are turning to listeners like you. Please step up now and invest in Marketplace. If you haven't yet given, now is the time. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
Niger's coup shakes its economy. Aid and exports halted. Hello, and you're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report. Live from the BBC World Service, I'm Leanna Byrne, and thanks so much for joining us this morning. Our top story, talks are ongoing today in the African state of Niger to reinstate democratic rule there. European nations have suspended financial support to the country and foreign citizens are being evacuated. And on top of all that, Niger is the world's seventh biggest producer of uranium, which is widely used for nuclear energy and treating cancer. The military leadership has reportedly issued a declaration to stop gold and uranium exports to France. Stephen Roman is chief executive of Global Atomic Corporation, a uranium mining company which is operating in Niger, and shares in the Canadian company dropped 44% after the coup. He spoke to the BBC's Katie Silver.
So we have about 200 people working at site right now. We're in the process of developing the underground mine. So since the coup, actually in this part of Niger, it's very quiet and there hasn't been any issues.
The country's borders have been closed. How has that impacted your operations?
That is going to impact our operations, I say, fairly soon, because, of course, a mine requires consumables. Unless the borders open in the next couple of weeks, we'll have to put the mine on a slowdown basis.
What does it mean globally and for the supply of uranium if this political crisis continues?
Well, most of the uranium from Niger has gone to France, typically. So they were operating two mines north of us. But Niger produces about 6 million pounds a year, which has been typically going to France to fuel their nuclear reactors. Some of it has gone to other countries, including the United States. But, you know, it's a significant cutback with the other cutbacks that have happened potentially coming out of Russia and Kazakhstan. You know, it's just adding to the overall shortage. Right now, the world's reactor fleet requires, in round numbers, about 200 million pounds a year. And there's about a 60 million pound deficit already. So, you know, each one of these events adds to that deficit.
That was Stephen Roman, chief executive of Global Atomic Corporation. All right, let's do the numbers. Just as there's been a huge global economic disruption because of the war in Ukraine, the truth is some companies benefit. Britain's biggest defence contractor, BAE Systems, hit a record $85 billion in its order backlog. But on the other side, the price of wheat has jumped 4% after Russia's attacks on Ukrainian grain silos. Okay, so it's day three in our immigration series, and today we are going to Chile. For years, Chile has been a welcoming destination for migrants in South America. But now the government wants to restrict the numbers coming into the country, and that's supported by many people, including migrants who have settled in Chile. And it's pushing more people north to the US. The BBC's Jane Chambers reports.
26-year-old Angelo, who didn't want to give his full name, sells fruit and vegetables at the local market. He came to Chile 6 years ago from Venezuela to escape the political and economic situation there.
Vine a Chile porque
I chose Chile because it was stable and there were good jobs prospects. I came as a tourist with my passport and stayed.
His friend Elias, who also wants to remain anonymous because he came to the country illegally, arrived recently and had a much tougher time getting in.
It took me 15 days to get to Chile by bus. I went through Colombia, Ecuador, Peru, and Bolivia. I slept in different bus terminals, and it was hard, but I couldn't come by plane because I got to Chile illegally, and I didn't have the paperwork to come by plane.
He says once he got there, he struggled to get work, but did eventually find a job. There are now almost 1.5 million immigrants in Chile, according to the Chilean National Institute of Statistics. Recently, huge numbers arrived from Venezuela and Haiti. Chile's president, Gabriel Boric, wants to stop migrants from illegally getting into the country. The military are now helping police and border control officers to patrol the region. The government says it's necessary to stop the rising crime, some of which it blames on migrants. That's affected many Chileans' attitudes towards settled migrants like Angelo.
We know that a lot of people with criminal records have come to Chile from Venezuela and give us a bad name. But we are not all like that. Most of us wanted to come and earn an honest living and help the economy.
Beatriz Siguel, a specialist on migratory patterns at the University of Chile, believes the resentment is also to do with rising inflation.
There's this huge idea that migrants came here to take Chilean people jobs, that it's not true. Migrant people actually get jobs that Chilean people doesn't want to do.
Angelo says Chile has now lost its allure for some migrants.
I have family who've decided to go to the United States, but it's very hard because they have to do it illegally. They tell me about walking through jungles, accidents and people dying, all to get to the United States, which is the dream for people in Latin America.
He says those who have made it say it's worth it. With little sign of inflation or crime falling and ever-tightening border controls, many more migrants are now following, turning north away from Chile and setting their sights firmly on the US. In Santiago, I'm the BBC's Jane Chambers for Marketplace.
And make sure to listen to our later programmes. We'll have more on the economic factors that drive migration to the US. And finally, China's internet watchdog just introduced stricter rules to control how much kids use smartphones and other devices. Those rules would require device manufacturers, app stores and mobile operating systems to create a special minor mode on devices that has time limits and curfews. Companies like Tencent and ByteDance's Douyin already have limits to minors' usage. I'm Leanna Byrne with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.